so good to have y'all. Y'all come back. How do you used to say, y'all come back now, you hear? Amen. Amen. Y'all come back to see us again. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, last week we finished a couple of messages that we were preaching from John chapter 1. Somebody say John chapter 1. In the beginning of time, the Word had what? Purpose. Somebody say purpose. And then we finished up last week with John chapter 1, verse number 4. What did it say? In Him, somebody say in Him, the Word made flesh is what or was what? In Him was what? All you got to do is look up on the screen. In Him was what? Somebody say life. And the life was what? In Him was a general way for all of us to live as believers. Life, lifestyle, living. Somebody say amen. And that life that was in Him was revelation. Say revelation. Somebody say revelation. Revelation from God or communication from God. Somebody say amen. When it's communicated directly from God, it's called divine revelation. Say divine revelation. So we found out that last week that God has a specific or general life for the believer to live, and that life is within Jesus Christ. Amen. We also learned last week that He's the major voice, a major voice that the Christian church should be listening to. We don't negate any of the Bible, but we understand that Jesus Christ is the major voice that we should be listening to. How do we know how to be Christ-like? We learn how to be Christ-like by looking at the teachings of Christ. Somebody say amen. I made this statement last week. I'll make it again. I walk gingerly. We are in the New Testament church, a New Testament church. And oftentimes we're trying to live out New Testament living from an Old Testament point of view. Somebody say amen. A lot of times, there's a lot of emphasis put on the law. Say the law. Somebody say the law. When Jesus has fulfilled it. Somebody say fulfilled it. He came in the earth, and He showed us a righteous standard to live. Say fulfilled. And I'm going to say something else to you that might startle some of us. The law was not really God's intended way for the children of God to live. Somebody say amen. I don't know whether you read it in the scripture. The Bible says that the law was added. Somebody say the law was added. The law was added because, one, mankind didn't know how to relate to God. And two, we didn't know how to treat one another. Somebody say treat one another. So God had to put law in place until Jesus came and died, implemented grace so that we can walk out love in the earth realm. Somebody say love. So the law was added. See, it was added. Somebody say it was added. It was not even God's original plan for His people. It was, somebody say it was added. I guess I need to start right there. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 19, and then I'll get into what I'm going to talk about today. Amen. Oftentimes I make statements without really clearing up or giving sufficient scripture reference for the statement. But the real deal is Jesus said He came to not to destroy the law, but to what? Say He fulfilled it. And another reality or real thing is this, that the law was added. Say added. Paul writes, what purpose then does the law serve? Somebody say good question. It was what? Because of what? Until when? Who is the seed? Somebody say Jesus. Till the seed should come to whom what? So the promise was made to Jesus. We received the promises through the seed, Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. I see some of y'all looking at that like you've never seen it before. Somebody say amen. Somebody had issues when I made the statement. But now you see that the law was added. Somebody say amen. It was temporary. Can you say temporary? It was temporary until the permanent one would come. And the permanent one is Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. So it was added. Somebody say added. Because of transgressions till the seed shall what? Come to whom the promise was made. And it was what? The law was appointed through angels by the hand of a whom? The mediator being Moses. Somebody say amen. So the law was never God's intended purpose for people, for his people. It was an added thing so that we could learn how to relate to him and so that we could learn how to treat one another. Somebody say amen. Now, we understand that according to the scripture, and I'm already off my manuscript, so I'm going to stay where God wants me to stay. According to the scriptures, that all the law, say all the law, is fulfilled in one word. What's that word? Can you say love? Somebody say love. Okay, Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse number 10. I don't know why the Lord waited until I get up sometime to change things. Somebody say amen. But he knows what we need better than we know. Somebody say amen. Paul writes, love does what? Can you read it? Love does what? When we're walking in the God kind of love, the Christ kind of love, we don't hurt one another. Somebody say we don't hurt one another. Let's back up to verse number 8. Paul writes, owe no man anything except what? Somebody say to love one another. Somebody say love one another. So we pay off all of our debts. All of our financial debts, all of our monetary debt, but there's one debt we should never pay off. And the scripture calls that debt love. Can you say love? He says, owe no one anything except what? To love one another, for love does what? For he who loves another has what? I was thinking King James translation. Somebody say amen. For he who what? Loves another has done what? Somebody say fulfill the law. Well, Pastor, it says somewhere in the scripture to love your neighbor as yourself. And it does say that. That was the greatest, one of the greatest commandments. Somebody say amen. But Jesus had to come along and add a standard to that because a lot of us don't have a great love for ourselves. And we will treat or love others like we love ourselves. And if that's subpar, substandard, guess what? Your love will be substandard for your neighbor. So Jesus came along and added a standard. Say a standard to loving one another. And the standard was love like he loved. Somebody say amen. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. We'll try to get back on track. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus said, a new commandment. Say, a new commandment. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you that you what? Now, he's talking to the believer. He's talking to the disciple. He's talking to the child of God. Somebody say amen. Now, we should love everybody. Say, love everybody. But we should especially love one another, saints, differently or the way that Christ said that we're to love. Somebody say amen. And the way that Christ said that we are to love is like he loved. And we see Christ's love being what? Unconditional. Say unconditional. He loves in spite of. Even though if I don't act like you want me to love, act like you want me to act, you still should love me in spite of. Because your love, like Christ, is unconditional. Say unconditional. Jesus loved in spite of. As a matter of fact, if you've ever read the gospel, he had problems with religious folks. They religious folks who thought they were better than everybody else and treated people like they thought they were better than everybody else. But who he hung out with was the sinner. Now, he didn't hang out with the sinner to show them that, look, I go along with what you do. Somebody say amen. They needed a physician. Somebody say physician. So he hung out with them in order to get them well spiritually. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. You remember the woman who got caught in the sin of adultery? Jesus did not stone her. He did not condemn her. But what he did tell her was, go and what? Sin no more. Which helps us to understand that he didn't condone the sin. Somebody say amen. Go and do what? Somebody say sin no more. But at the same time, God knew that we were going to slip up. So he made, glory to God, what we would like to call, help me, Holy Ghost, with the right word. He made provisions for us when we slip up. We can confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to do what? forgive our sins and to cleanse us of what? Oh. So if you're slipping up, if you're slipping up, you need to make sure that you go before God and let God know that you understand that you're slipping up. Somebody say amen. So that he can forgive and cleanse. Somebody say amen. I was going to make another statement, but sometimes statements trip people up. But I'll make this one anyway, because I think you ought to be able to handle this one. In Christ Jesus, say Christ Jesus. Okay, this is a big one. In Christ Jesus, we don't break the law anymore. Remember, the law has been fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. So we don't break the law. We don't break the commandments anymore. Somebody say amen. But we do miss the mark. We do come short of the righteousness of God. Somebody say amen. I think it's Romans 3:23 said, all have sinned. Say past tense. All have sinned and all come what? Short of the glory of God. So we miss the glorious standard. We don't break the law because we're no longer under the law. We're under grace. Somebody say grace. Somebody say grace. So Jesus had to make sure that we understood how we should love one another as believers. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you what? Love as I have what? Somebody say, as I've loved you. That you also do what? Now, I asked the congregation to read along with me, because I want to make sure that they see what I see. Somebody say, amen. So we're to love like Jesus, and how Jesus loved was one, unconditionally, and two, he met needs. He met needs. Somebody say, met needs. Somebody say, amen. John writes over in the book of John, 3rd chapter, if you have all these earthly goods, and you see that I'm in need, and you don't meet the need, your love is not very good. You show or display love by meeting the need. If I have a need, and you have the means to do so. Somebody say, amen. That's what Jesus did. He had the means to meet all the needs that he encountered in his earthly ministry. Somebody say amen. So he did it. Somebody say amen. And he did it according to John chapter 13 to be an example or example to us so that we can know how to love one another. Somebody say amen. So if I can go back to Romans chapter 13 real quick, I'm going to try to get on today's page. Okay, I hear that too, Lord. I don't know if I'm going to get on today's page today. Somebody must need to hear something about love today. Because God has turned the whole thing around. Romans chapter 13, verse number 8. We're back there. Amen. He says, owe no one anything except what? The love. For love does what? It fulfills the law. Somebody say amen. Verse number 9. He says, for the commandments. He makes it real clear to us. He says, for the commandments, you shall not what? You shall do what? Not what? You shall not what? You shall not what? You shall not what? Somebody say covet. And if there's any other commandments, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Verse number 10. Love does what? Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is what? Again, if we're walking in the God kind of love, we're not hurting one another. We're not hurting one another. And if we end up hurting another, we should quickly repent. Somebody say quickly repent. Now, repent has to do with more than just asking for forgiveness. You know, the traditional definition for repentance is to ask forgiveness. But when Jesus talks about repentance, he's talking about changing a mindset and changing a behavior. Somebody say amen. So if you find yourself walking out hurtful things in a person's life or doing hurt or harm to someone, if you want to line up with Christ-like living, you have to repent or turn from that thing and begin to treat the person with love. Somebody say treat the person with love. So we have to repent. Somebody say repent. Because we want to be obedient to the Christ. Somebody say amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 8. He says, Peter writes, and above what? have what kind of love? For whom? For love will do what? Say love. Okay, I'll do that too, Lord. We'll cover a multitude of sins. So how do we view this? We view this this way. We're walking in love. We don't see all the sins of our brothers and sisters. We're walking in love. We don't see all the wrong that people are doing, especially our brothers and sisters. See, when you're seeing everything that a person does that's wrong, you're walking out the wrong thing. You're walking out judgment. And you'll be quick to criticize a particular person. If you're walking in love, you'll see and don't see. Because, look, every sin don't deserve us pointing out. I've learned, somebody said he's learned. I've learned as a Christian to not always point out just because I don't know. I don't always point out or judge a person where they sin because I don't know where that sin is coming from. I know it's coming from the individual, but I don't know what it's coming out of. I don't know if it's coming out of a hurt place. I don't know if it's coming out of ignorance. I don't know if it's coming out recompensing or getting back. I don't know where it's coming from, so I'm not quick to jump on that thing with judgment. One thing I would do occasionally is pray for that person. Somebody say pray for that person. Because, again, I don't know where it's coming from. I did a lot of stuff out of ignorance, even as a believer. I was in the church, and I did a lot of stuff because I didn't know no better. I went around hurting people because I was hurt. In order for me to stop hurting, I had to be healed. Inwardly. Somebody say inwardly. Healing sometimes has to do with finding out that something could be wrong or the thing that you're doing is wrong. Okay? And sometimes it takes the word to bring that up to us so that we can see it. Somebody say amen. He sent his word, Psalm 107, verse number 20. He sent his word to heal us. Somebody say heal us. So sometimes the word will bring something to our mind and then heal our mind because we'll get the correct thought pattern or mindset or the correct thinking on that issue. Somebody say amen. So the word can heal us. Say heal us. Somebody say heal us. So a lot of times we're not so quick to point out stuff because, man, we don't know exactly where it comes from. Now, I do a lot of what you call now Facebook surfing, if you will. A lot of Facebook surfing. I'm on the side of Facebook where there's videos. Somebody said videos. I have to be careful sometimes. But that's my connection with the world. Because I'm not out there. So I need to know what's going on. And some of the stuff I see is still somewhat troubling. Say troubling. Somebody say troubling. But I don't always judge the person. I understand that some of the things that people are doing these days that are sinful in the sight of God is culture related. Are they just living out what their culture has taught them? And if anything's going to change in their lives, the first thing we need to do is express love to them by witnessing to them, trying to get them on the side of Christ. Somebody say, man, a lot of things I see out there, you know, it's very troubling. I know it cannot end up in good, but I don't judge here again because I understand that it's culturally. Some of it is, again, is ignorance. They're ignorant. They just don't know any better. Nobody ever taught them that this, what you're doing, can be hurtful, cause you harm, in a lot of instances. I'll leave it right there. So a lot of times, we shouldn't be so quick to judge because we don't know where the behavior is coming from, but we don't know the mindset that it's coming out of. If we want to get people on the right side, we spend time witnessing to them. Somebody say amen. So when we're walking in love, say walking in love. Somebody say walking in love. I feel like I just preached this some time ago. When we're walking in love, love don't always see all the wrong that a person is doing. I know somebody said, I wish so-and-so would walk in love with me because all they do is point out my faults, point out my faults, point out my faults. Perhaps they don't know any better. Perhaps nobody's taught them that they shouldn't judge. And maybe you need to be the person that, with loving kindness, share with them that they shouldn't be so quick to judge. I say amen. So when we're walking in love, we don't see every wrong that a person does. Somebody say amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. New Living Translation, beginning at verse number 4. Who am I talking to today? Who came in here and got me off my message? I might as well close this tab because I'm nowhere near what I was going to talk about today. Somebody say amen. New Living Translation. Who is that? Let him use it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Listen what Paul writes concerning love, what love is. Say love is. I call this the definition of the God kind of love. Somebody say amen. Or we can call it the characteristics of the God kind of love. Listen what he says. Love is what? And what else? Any impatient folks in here? Any impatient people in here? If everything and everybody get on your nerves, okay, on your last nerve, you're not walking in love. Don't look at me with that tone of voice. I didn't write it. Paul wrote it. The Holy Spirit breathed it. Somebody say breathe it. Love is what? Love is what? Let's go back. Love is patient. Say patient. Somebody say patient. Love can put up with some stuff when it comes to people. I love it when they say, thank you, Lord. Love, you know, love can put up with some stuff. Now, one thing that scripture don't tell you is how long to put up with. But you know, Peter made the mistake of asking Jesus, how many times should I forgive? Seven times in a day? Jesus said seven times 70, amen. He wanted him to forget how many times he had forgiven so that he could what? Keep on forgiving. I don't know how long we should be patient, but the scripture says that love is what? And is what? Somebody say kind. If you're rude, you're not walking in love. You know, sometimes we can get to the place, Lynn, where we think we're better than other folks. And the scriptures say that we ought not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And then we'll get very rude. I go in a restaurant sometimes. They don't get my food when I want it. I'd be this close to being rude. Okay, I have been rude, so I say amen. But when I check myself, I realize I'm doing the wrong thing, amen. I'm not expressing love. And then the person, somebody at the table called me pastor. And then they learn I'm a pastor, and then I'm being rude. And then they might be saying, I can't believe he'll pastor up Christian the way he acted. And somebody say amen. So I'm always trying to remember to do what Christ says do or what the scripture says do. Be kind. Somebody say kind. It's a work for me. It's a work for me to keep my mind on the type of love that produced kindness. Somebody say amen. But it's a possible work. So he said love is patient and what? Love is not what? Somebody say jealous. Any jealous people in here today? But the Bible says God is a jealous God. It's a whole different thing. If God is a jealous God, I can be jealous too. He don't want us sharing our affection with any other gods. But he don't want you and I to be jealous to the point where we mistreat people. You accuse of focused stuff, you ain't got no facts whatsoever. Just because you jealous. You scared somebody's going to love somebody better than they love you. Love is not jealous and what? Not boastful. Don't walk around talking about I'm love. I did this because I love you so and so. I used to be mad about that one. I did this because I love you. I don't think I ever forget this. My mama used to be beating me and say, I'm doing this because I love you. Stop loving me, Mom, so much. Stop loving me so much. Because this don't feel like love. Somebody say feel like love. So love is not boastful. Love is not pride or arrogant or selfish, if you will. Somebody say amen. Verse number 5. And love is not rude. Say rude. It does not demand its what? Is my way or the highway? It does not demand its own way. Now, don't get it twisted. Now, if you're running a household, there has to be standards in the household. But you ought to be merciful and compassionate, too. My grandchildren has taught me that even a baby sometimes can help you reason through things or help you to see things in a different light. Somebody say amen. Because they think a little differently. And it's amazing to me how smart they are, but they can help me see things a little different. My children can help me see things a little different. I was brought up, everything that just about a child did wrong, we got corporal punishment. My children has taught me some things, you know, don't deserve corporal punishment. Some things deserve a little talking, getting a little understanding. One of my parents used to say to the other, that's what's wrong with them. You let them express themselves. Well, what's wrong with expressing yourself? I can't remember which parent used to say that. But what's wrong with them expressing themselves? You find out what's on their mind. Somebody say amen. So love does not demand its own way. Love don't always say my way is the only way. When we're walking in love, we can see somebody else's point of view. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. It is not what? Say not irritable. I heard a on this side too, somebody say amen. If you find yourself getting irritated very easily about what people do, chances are you're not walking in love. Yeah. And you might need a little rest. You might need a little rest. Yeah. You might need to just collect yourself and get away for a little while. Somebody say amen. And get built up. Say build up. Or you might want to spend some time in prayer and get built up in the Lord. Somebody say amen. Because when we're irritable or get irritated so easily, I didn't say it, the scripture said it, we're not walking in love. Somebody say amen. Love keeps no record of what? Of being wronged. Uh-oh. We have our meeting sometime and some interesting things come out. I'll just leave it here. Love keeps no record of being wronged. Why? When you forgive, the Bible teaches that when you forgive, you release it, you let it go. You release it and let it go. So if you release it and let it go, guess what? There should not be a recording. You remember I taught you some time ago, Jesus said, if we don't forgive the way that God says that we ought to forgive, that's from the heart, say from the heart. God will turn you over to the tormentors. That's what Jesus said. And I taught you that the tormentors might not be an angel or an evil angel. Somebody say amen. It could be the offense playing over and over in your mind that's tormenting you, keeping you angry, keeping you wherever you are, or keeping you in a place where you can't move forward. So you need to release. Somebody say release. Somebody say release. Somebody say release. Don't record. Verse number 6. It does not rejoice about what? But rejoices whenever what? Somebody say the truth wins out. Somebody say the truth wins out. When a person finds themselves in a bad place, we shouldn't be happy about that. Especially if a person has done something to us. I knew it was gonna happen. It was gonna be a matter of time. I'm so happy. That was a person who told me one time. that he wished I could. I don't want to misquote what he said. I think he said it before he knew it, too. He wished I could feel what it feels like not to be able to have or pay your bills on time or something like that, he said. And I'd have had the same wish that he did. No. And the reason, see, I had surrounded myself with people who would help me manage money, do a better job than I had. So I was always gainfully employed. So I had learned how to pay bills on time, et cetera, et cetera. And the person who made that statement to me was not a good money manager. So why want me to feel what you feel because you had to learn to do what I had to learn to do? He wanted to rejoice in my downfall because he thought that I couldn't feel what he felt. I had a spur in my life where I had some difficulties too. But it came along with me not knowing how to manage money. I'm not the best money manager now, but I do know how to pay my debts. I do know how to save. I do know how to invest, et cetera, et cetera. So my prayer for him was, Lord, help him to be a better steward of what you blessed him with. Because I want to rejoice with him as he do better. Somebody say better. And I wanted to walk in love in a way where I could express love to him by not hurting his feelings, for wanting me to feel what he felt, glory to God, and so that he could do better, if you will. Somebody say amen. So the scripture says, love does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoice whenever what? I wanted the truth to win out in his life. That is, he could be a better steward than what he was. Somebody say amen. So love, somebody say love. Love look a lot different than a lot of times we think it looks. Somebody say amen. We're never to pay off the debt. Love fulfills the law. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love treats people right. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Now, today I was going to talk about something else. That thing said I got 27 minutes. There's no way I got 27 minutes left. You must have started it late. Somebody say amen. So I'm not going to start another message, but if you want to come back next week, if the Lord's willing, we've been teaching lessons on the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Somebody say amen. And what we're understanding in the New Testament church that we need to learn how the kingdom operates. Because God desires us to live out kingdom principles in the earth realm. So next week, if you come back, we're going to talk about why it's so important that we understand how the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God operates. Somebody say operates. And the main reason why it's important is because, one, we're part of it. Somebody say we're part of it. And two, because Jesus preached and taught it. And since Jesus preached and taught it, we need to understand how it operates. Somebody say amen. It's a system that operates totally opposite from the world. We see a picture of that today in love. Somebody say love. The world hates. If you do me wrong, the world hates. If you do me wrong, the world pays back. The world rejoices when somebody have a fault. Somebody say amen. It's totally contrary to how the kingdom of God or the system of God operates. Somebody say amen. So since we are in that kingdom, we need to learn how to operate according to it. Somebody say amen. I don't know about y'all, but that's all I got to say about all this today. Somebody say amen. Hopefully something was said that bless you. I do know, I've been preaching long enough to know that God will turn a whole message to meet one person's need. Somebody say amen. God turned a whole message to meet somebody's need today, amen. And we hope and pray that you receive with meekness and that you'll walk out what God desires you to walk out as it relates to love in the earth realm. Somebody say amen. Let us pray. Father God, we honor you for your liberating word is truth. Glory to God. It's truth that makes us free, Jesus said, indeed, in Jesus' name. So, Father God, we thank you today that Your word has been received on good ground. Glory to God. And that someone has been set free in their thinking, which will lead to freedom in their behavior or actions, which leads to us walking out your will for our lives in the earth realm. Lord, we honor you so much today. We bless you. We thank you. We give you praise for all things. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all who agree with that prayer said, all heads bowed, all eyes closed, as we give someone an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. If you're here today and you know without a shadow of a doubt that you need to be saved, if you need to be translated from the kingdom of darkness or from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son or into the kingdom of God, there's an opportunity for you to receive Jesus in this house today. We receive Jesus by way, or we ask Jesus into our lives by way of prayer. Amen. Perhaps somebody is viewing us by way social media outlets this morning that we are on that needs Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We invite you to invite Jesus Christ into your heart simply by following us in this prayer. We ask the saints to pray along with us so that we can encourage the person who needs Christ and even, glory to God, support them in their decision to ask him into their lives. Pray with me, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Lord Jesus, be my Lord. I tell the Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming into my heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, if you're in the house and you want to make an open confession to what you've received inwardly, here's your opportunity to just slip up your hands. We will notice you and thank God for you and move forward. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you viewing us by way of any social media outlet, you know by faith that Jesus Christ is coming to your heart. We want to help you as you begin your walk with the Lord. There's a phone number on the screen. All you have to do is call it, and free of charge, we're going to mail you out a package with some content in it that's going to help you as you begin your walk with the Lord. Even if you're in-house, if you need that content to help you begin your walk with the Lord, we want to help you by passing it on to you free of charge. Somebody say free of charge. Come on, let's bless God for salvation. Woo! It's offering time. It's offering time. On the screen, there are some different avenues that you can choose to give to this ministry if you desire to do so. If you've already given, you bless God for your gift. Somebody say amen. If you're in the house and you want to give by way of receptacle or by way of the receptacles that are in the house, all you have to do is slip up your hands. Our ushers are on the floor right now, and they're ready to receive your tithes, offerings, or both. Somebody say amen. Amen. While they are lifting the tithes and offerings, somebody say amen. While they're lifting the tithes and offerings, just want to remind everybody that on Wednesday nights beginning at 6:45 p.m. we have Bible study. And the information as it relates to how we do Bible study is on the screen right now. We do it by way of Facebook Live and by way of Zoom. Amen. We're teaching faith. Somebody say faith. Somebody say faith. Sustained faith versus unsustained faith. I promise you, if you tune in, you'll be blessed. Somebody say amen. Come on, let's bless God for giving. Amen. Come on, let's bless God for Bible study. Amen. Amen. Are all hearts satisfied in giving? Well, they're still passing the... Somebody try to keep the receptacle over there. I should have known. Every parent has one child they have to give more attention to. Somebody say amen. And we have one here too. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Repent. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we honor you for the tithe and for the offering, Lord. We honor you for everyone who's given in this offering today, Lord God. We lift them up to you, and we thank you that in due season they will receive a return on their gift according to their gift in the name of Jesus. Lord, we lift the collected tithe and offering up to you. First, we thank you for it. Then, secondly, we ask you to bless it like you did the two fish and the five loaves of bread, so that there will be great resources in this house to meet every need with supernatural abundant leftovers. Lord, we honor you, we trust you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, and all we're good that prayer said, come on, let's bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. May we stand together. All I suppose the grace of God, the love of God, the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest and abide with us here now and forevermore. Glory to God. The Lord bless you in all that you do in this new week. The Lord prosper you in all that you do. Glory to God. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you in Jesus' name. And as you go throughout this new week, don't forget to do what? Practice. Y'all have a great one. God bless you. We love you.